Today, the third Sunday in June, is traditionally considered Father's Day. You know, that time when we honor fathers and we recognize the importance of fatherhood in our society. But for those of us who are Christians, we know that every Sunday is Father's Day, because it is the day that we come together and we recognize, praise, worship our Father in heaven. But this particular day in the year is a day that is celebrated, if you want to use that term, in over 40 plus countries around the world. Some do it in March, some do it in May, some do it in June, but it is recognized as a day to recognize the fathers. But I have a question for you. Men, what is it that we fathers do? What is our job description, if you will? I've often heard it said, and maybe you've had a father that has said this to you, you know, my job is to keep a roof over your head, clothes on your backs, and food on the table. And it is true that down through the years, down through the centuries, if you will, we typically have looked to fathers as the financial providers in the family. But I guess since World War II, and maybe you could even go all the way back to the days of the Proverbs, that is not always the case, because we find that there have been times in which women have had to go to work in order to help the family make ends meet. And so it's not always the father that is the financial provider in the home solely. So what is it that we fathers do? I want to offer to you today what I think we fathers have as a responsibility given to us from God that we are to be engaged in. Men, we are called to be the spiritual leaders, the spiritual shepherds, if you will, in our home. Now, you think about that, and then you come back and say, okay, what does a spiritual shepherd do? How do I go about fulfilling that responsibility, that role within the home? Well, perhaps the best place to go is the text that was just shared with us. Appreciate James reading that. I didn't ask him to read the whole thing. It actually begins back in chapter 10 verse 1 and comes all the way down through verse 18. In it we see that Jesus, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, as Peter later refers to him, shares with us what the good shepherd actually does, what a good shepherd is all about. And if we are going to be the shepherds in our homes, then we have some responsibilities that we need to fulfill. Now, this passage of Scripture actually follows on the heels of an event that took place that you're familiar with in John chapter 9. A man who has been born blind is healed by Jesus. The chief, or the religious rulers of his day, learn about it. They want to know who's done it. They're upset because it's been done on the Sabbath day. And so in chapter 10, there is this discourse, if you will. It's more Jesus talking to them about how different he is from them. Because you see, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, those Jewish leaders, use their positions of authority as something to exercise for their own benefit. They weren't truly, and this is what Jesus brings out in what he says in chapter 10, they're not truly concerned about the sheep. And they were people who, as we see in chapter 9, would be willing to put somebody out of the synagogue, like this man who had been born blind, who had now been given his sight, simply because they would declare Jesus to be the Christ, the promised one that God had spoken of so long ago. Not only that, these men, as Jesus brings out, if you read between the lines, he's saying, these are thieves and robbers. They say that because they're using the flock for their own advantage, and they're not giving of themselves, they're not sacrificing of themselves for the good of the flock. So Jesus stands in stark contrast to these leaders, because he is one who's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. And folks, in these words that he speaks, I think we find some principles that apply to us as men. If you want to know how to shepherd your family, if you want to know how to truly do what God has called us to do in our homes, then let's look at John chapter 10 and let's see some of the things he says. If we are going to be the spiritual shepherds of our families, then the first thing that we have to do is we have to make sure that we ourselves are followers of Christ. We have to begin in our own lives looking at ourselves. If you or I try to lead our family spiritually, the first thing we have to do is make sure that our hearts and our minds are given to Jesus Christ in obedient faith. We have to be people who are truly worshiping or following Him. It's not enough just to say, well, I come to church, I get them to church. Or to say, you know, I'm a religious individual. If we're going through the motions, then we're not really leading. We're just doing something for the show of it. And folks, there is nothing that will turn our children off to us quicker than hypocrisy in our lives. And our children can spot it a mile off. Dad, you say you're this, but I see this in you. And that turns them off. And if we wonder down the road why our children sometimes aren't what we wish they were, maybe we need to start looking at ourselves and looking at where our priorities are at. If we seek to lead our children through the same door of evangelism, through the same door of salvation that we have traveled, then we're in good shape. But if we're not, if we haven't traveled through that door, then we're not going to get anywhere with them. And the man who seeks to lead his children is a man who is sensitive to sin in his own life. He recognizes, I struggle with this. And if I struggle with it, then my children are going to struggle with it. And I've got to make sure that I'm trying to follow Christ if I'm going to have any chance of trying to move them in the direction I want them to go. God is looking for men that are not ashamed to confess Christ as Lord. They're not ashamed to turn away from their sin in their lives and in repentance. They're not ashamed to be baptized in confession of that faith and to live it out on a daily basis for them before their children. Men, our children are looking for a man who's not afraid to pray for his children and for his children to know that he and their mother are constantly praying on their behalf. How about you? Men, are you doing that? Do they see it in us? But secondly, if we're going to shepherd our families, I think we see something else here in what Jesus says. And that is that we have to know each of our children individually. One of the things that was read just a moment ago about the Good Shepherd is that the sheep hear His voice. He calls His own sheep. He calls them by name. He leads them out. And the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. And as Jesus said in verse 14, I know my own and my own know me. Knowing our children involves knowing more than just their names. Well, that's Peter and that's John and that's Mary. I know their names. I know who my children are, but it's more than that. You see, in Jesus' day, to know someone's name meant to also know that person. What's their personality like? What are their likes? What are their dislikes? What are their little quirks about them that make them different? We know, those of us who have been parents know that no two children are the same. You can't parent one the same way you parent another one. One is very sensitive. One you just look at and they cry because they've done something wrong. The other one, it takes a little more. And we must work to know them individually. Years ago it was said, quality time is more important than quantity. Now we're finding out that's not true. You've got to have both. You've got to have the quality time, but you also have to have the quantity there. You have to spend time with your children, and they have to know that you want to know them. When our children are young, there's nothing wrong with getting down in the floor with them and playing those games or getting out on that little tricycle and pushing them around in the driveway or in the snow, pulling them in that sled, because you see, they begin to realize, Dad loves to be around me. He loves to spend time with me. It's important to him. And then as they get older, we began to involve them in our tasks. Men, do you have a son that loves to be out in the garage with you or out in the garden or doing things that you like to do simply because you like to do it? I can remember some of my favorite times with my father was just riding down the road with him in the truck. And it was always my granddaddy's truck because we didn't have the money in those days to have a truck of our own. But I enjoyed doing that. And I remember, and some of you will remember this, some of my fondest memories, there were two country markets out our way, and we'd stop there, and he'd get me a Dr. Pepper, and a pack of Tom's Spanish peanuts. And those of you who are older know exactly what you do with those. You put the peanuts in the Dr. Pepper. Well, for him it was a Coke, but you put those, you drink them. It was good. But it was time with my father. You see, that influence that we're going to have in our children's lives comes through developing a relationship with them, spending time with them, getting to know them, and letting them get to know us and who we are and what's really important to us. But then also, if we're going to shepherd our families, we've got to be men that set the example. We have to lead by example. In verse 4, one of the things that Jesus says is that the good shepherd puts forth all his own, that is his sheep, and he goes ahead of them. The good shepherd leads his flock. They follow him. He doesn't drive them as a rancher would drive cattle. That isn't the way in Jesus' day that sheep were carried about. He goes before them. He shows them the way. And we cannot, as men, lead our families where we ourselves are not willing to go. Were you a man, maybe, when your children were young, that it was you'd rather stay at home on a Sunday morning, let mama and take the kids to church? I've got other things I want to do. Let her do that. And then as your boys got older, I don't want to go to church, mama, because daddy's not going. I know a man to this day that regrets every decision he ever made not to have followed Christ at a much younger age in his life because his three sons grew up not knowing Christ. Oh, mama took them. Mama made sure they went, but daddy didn't go. Daddy wasn't there. And when they got old enough, they didn't want it either. You see, because they wanted to do what dad did. And dad wasn't into church things. He wasn't into the gospel. He wasn't into following Christ and giving his life in obedient faith. You see, we have to do that in our lives. If we want our children to become what God wants them to be, then we've got to lead our families, and we have to lead them by doing it ourselves. Folks, men, if you want your children to control their tempers, control yours. Let them see that when you get angry, you don't blow up and you don't start throwing things or yelling or punching something. No, you control that temper. You handle yourself in a godly way. If you want your children to speak kindly to somebody around them, then let them see you speaking kindly to your wives, their mother. If you want your children to be quick to forgive somebody, let them see you forgiving and not holding a grudge for years and years on end. If we want our children to be helpful, cheerful helpers, maybe I should say, around the home, let them see you doing that. Honey, you need some help with that? Here, let me help you. Let me do this for you. And when they see you doing that, they realize that it's okay for a man to do those things. A man cares for his home, he cares for his wife, he cares for his family, and they grew up seeing that. A number of years ago, there was a Senate chaplain in the U.S. Senate. His name was Richard Halverson. He was invited to speak one time to several hundred men at a church's men's dinner. At that church's men's dinner, he asked for a show of hands of all of those men who believed that there ought to be prayer in public schools. He said almost every hand went up. He then asked another question. He asked, this question was, how many of you men pray daily with your children in your home? He said, very few hands went up. Men, is he talking to us? Did we pray with our children in our homes when they were growing up? Or did we say, let mama lead prayer? Or Junior, you going to church, you lead the prayer. Do they see us leading the prayer? Another man by the name of James Baldwin, an American novelist, he's also kind of a critic of life at times. He said this, and I thought it was very interesting. He said, children have never been good at listening to their elders. Oh, how we complain about that. They just don't listen to their elders anymore these days. But he also added, but they have never failed to imitate them. If our children aren't doing what we want them to do, Do we maybe need to look in the mirror and see if we're doing that? They may be imitating us better than we realize. Are we saying, do as I say, but don't do as I do? You see, we've got to lead. We have to set the example. If we're going to be the shepherds of our families, men, we've got to lead. We've got to show them the way. If you look here in John chapter 10, you see something else, though, I believe, and that is that a good shepherd is one who leads his children to the green pastures of God's Word. In verse 9 and 10, that's what he brings out. And as shepherds of our families, we have to be individuals, men, who lead our children to the Word of God. Long ago in Psalm 119, verse 9, the psalmist asked God this question. He said, how can a young man, keep his way pure? In that very same verse, he answered his own question. He said, by keeping it according to your word. And he was speaking about God. If we want, in the song we sometimes sing, how shall the young secure their hearts and guard their lives from sin? Thy word the choicest rules imparts. You see, it's the word of God. And we've got to lead them to that word. If we want our sons and our daughters to grow up to become men and women who love their spouses, who love their children, and who love the same God that we love, we've got to start with this right here. We've got to put them into this. I read something that was interesting this last week. I didn't realize it, but it's actually been something that's been out since the beginning of last year. Do you realize that the world over, and especially in this nation, that IQs are dropping? They have been dropping since 1980. IQs. Our children are becoming less and less intelligent. Two things were put forth as to the reason. One of those is one I tend to agree with. Our children are not reading. They're not being exposed to things. Oh, they know how to find things on their laptops and their computers and their smartphones and their tablets, but just good old-fashioned reading, and also dad taking them out and teaching them certain things about life. They can fix things on a computer, but can they fix a flat tire? Can they figure out how to make something run? Can they just know how to work in life? But even more, can they know how to live their lives according to God's precepts? Do they know what's in Scripture? And the only way they're going to find that, it's not taught in schools. The only way they're going to find it is if you're teaching them, if you're leading them there. And we start out when they're young with the stories. We tell them about creation. We tell them about Adam and Eve. We tell them about Noah and the ark. We tell them about Abraham and Isaac. We tell them about Joseph. We tell them about Jacob. We tell them about all of these things that happened, that God worked in the lives of these different individuals. We share the stories. We tell them about Jesus feeding the 5,000, about Him calming the waters on the Sea of Galilee, about Him raising the dead and healing the blind, and all of these things. We tell them the stories. And then as they get older, we delve deeper into the Word and we tell them what these stories mean. We tell them the things behind the stories and the different things that God wants us to learn from His Word about how we are to live and how we are to be His people. Long ago, Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 6 with the children of Israel there in the plains of Moab, before they were to cross over in the river Jordan into the promised land, he said to the fathers and to the mothers that they were to take the Word of God and they were to impress the precepts of that Word upon their children. That they were to talk of those things when they sit down in their home and when they walk along the way, when they lie down at night and when they rise up in the morning. You see, you're getting them into the Word. And the Word has the power to accomplish what God wants. But the question is, are we communicating the truths of that Word to our children? You see, that's our job. That's our responsibility. That's what it means to be a godly man, a shepherd in your home. Two more. If you go back to John chapter 10, We need to guard them from danger. There's not a man in this room that wouldn't protect his children for all he's worth. You know, in John chapter 10, there in verse 11, Jesus, after saying, "I am the good shepherd," he says, "The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." He is a hired hand, not a shepherd. Jesus said, he's not the owner of the sheep. He sees the wolf coming. He flees. Why? Because he doesn't own the sheep. They're not his. They belong to somebody else. But I dare tell you that a man will not do that when it's his own children. He'll do whatever he has to do to protect his children. You don't dare touch one of mine. That's what we say, isn't it? They're mine. I'm going to protect them. And we don't have a problem with protecting them physically. We want to do that. But let me ask you a question. If suddenly one night there came a knock at your door, your family's safe inside, and suddenly you open the door and there's this individual just doesn't look good at all. And he says to you, "I want to come in and teach your children. I want to teach them how fun it is to mock someone else and to tear them down. I want to teach them so many things. I want to teach them how to disrespect you as parents and to go after people that make them angry and to get even with them with whatever means they think is necessary." I dare say you'd slam the door in that man's face before he ever got half of that statement out. But do you realize it's already happening? Men, we're letting it happen. It's called TV, internet, cell phones. I'm not saying you throw all that away. I'm saying you guard the door. You guard the way things get into your house and what comes into your home. Because there's so much that our children are being exposed to when we don't even realize at times what they see and what they hear and what enters their minds, those precious little minds. Have you ever sat watching a movie with a younger child, and maybe it was a movie that you've seen before and you thought, "Well, that's a good movie. That's a good movie." And then suddenly, as you're going through that movie, one of your children says, "Oh, what? They said a bad word." You never even picked up on it. You never even noticed it because you've heard it so many times. They haven't. You see, we're tasked with guarding them and protecting them. As shepherds of our children's souls, we guard them against the evil influences of the world by teaching them what is right, what is wrong, teaching them about spiritual truth and spiritual error. And if you and I will do this, then we're guarding our children's lives against those evil influences. And then there's this one last thing. And I believe this is something else that Jesus teaches us by His own example, and that is that we serve our families. We serve our children. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, Jesus said. But in laying down his life, he set an example for us of what we do. Peter said that Jesus suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in his footsteps or in his steps, 1 Peter 2, verse 21. But if anyone wishes to come out after me, Jesus said he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We've seen this passage over and over again. I preached on it not too long ago, Philippians chapter 2, there in verse 4, where Paul says that we're not to merely look out for our own interest, but also for the interest of others. You see, we serve our families not by doing for them the things they can learn to do for themselves. That's what we want them to learn, how to do for themselves, how to become responsible, how to take care of things that they ought to be taken care of. But we serve our families when we put their best interest ahead of our interest. Sometimes that means that I turn off the TV. I put down my computer or my tablet and I go over and I say, "I want to help you with your homework tonight. I know you're struggling with your math, or I know you've got these spelling words you've got to learn and you've got to get memorized so that you can do good on the spelling test tomorrow. Let's sit down and let's go over those and make sure that you've got those. I want to help you learn these things." It'd be much easier to say, you know what your homework is. You sit over there at the kitchen table until you get it done. Don't bother me. But no, to serve our families means that we, even though we may be a little tired, we say, you need this help and I'm here to help you because I am your father and I want to make sure that you do well. It may involve that we sacrifice sometimes something that we had planned to do on a Saturday because it is the only time that we can actually do something with our children in a family outing because we want them to come to know us and we want to know them. We want to serve our families. We care for them. Sometimes it means, Dad, that you go help a daughter change a tire, a flat tire on a car, because she can't do it herself. She can't break the lug nuts loose. Sometimes it means you go out and help your son do something that he needs to get done. It may be simply putting a chain back on a bicycle or showing him how to fix a flat tire on that bicycle. And I know it's hot outside and it'd be easier to stay in that air conditioning, but you see, we serve them and we show them that they're important. They matter to us. We care about them. And if Jesus was willing to lay down his life for his sheep, are we willing to do whatever we need to do for them to help them come to know Christ, to honor him in their lives, to be good fathers, good mothers, good parents themselves? Our goal is to help them become adults who will willingly and cheerfully serve the Lord and be the people in their homes that God wants them to be. Because if we don't do it, no one else will. No one will do what God calls us to do. Men, we're shepherds of our families. That's what we are. Oh, we bring home a check. We help pay for the groceries, we make the house note and we pay the insurance and we pay this and we pay that and we buy the clothes and, you know, we provide those things. But more than that, more important than that, is we are the shepherds of our families. And so the question for us this morning is, are we leading our children? Are we leading them closer to God? Do they love God because of the example we set in their lives? Because that's what we need to do. Will they become faithful Christians and servants of the Lord because of our example? I know there's a lot of things out there that can pull them away, but let it not be anything that we have or have not done. Will our children and our grandchildren come to know Christ and follow Him because of who we are and how we have lived? That's what it's really all about. When all said and done, that's what it's really all about. How are you doing, men? Have I stepped on some toes this morning? Because I know I've stomped all over mine. You know, these sermons a lot of times are for me as much as they are for anybody else. And I have failed more times than I can count. But I'm trying. And that's what we do. We keep picking ourselves back up and asking God, help me to do better next time. A long time ago, I say a long, it wasn't that long, when my oldest grandson was just a baby, and I was holding him one night at our home, I prayed, God, don't let me mess up with him. And I prayed that prayer with every one of my grandkids. Don't let me mess up with them. Prayer, maybe we all need to pray for our kids and our grandkids. Men, if you're not the man God calls you to be, there's still time. You can change that. And today, if you're not a Christian, that's the starting place. Give your life today in obedient faith to our Lord and Savior. Confess His name. Turn from any sin in your life that keeps you from honoring Him in the way you should. And follow Him all the days of your life. Let your children see you're devoted to Him, that He's first and foremost always in your life. And if you're a Christian man here today, and you've listened to this lesson, and you know, I'm not doing those things, I'm not living the life I need to live, please, today, change that. Ask God, help me to do better. Help me to be the man you've called me to be. Help me to be that father that truly lives out his life in the way that he should before his children Help me be that grandfather that I need to be. But if the invitation of God is for you today, if you've got a broken life that is marred by sin and you need Him to create it anew, make it whole again, won't you come right now as together we stand and sing?